It has been a year and 3 months since Hurricane Michael made landfall. We're going to look at that in greater intensity today. I've got Kay Dennis in the second hour talking about her new book, Surviving Hurricane Michael, and Alex Workman, who has launched this Never Forgotten Coast project. We're going to revisit with him, and you don't want to miss any of it, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. Merrymaids, call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Again, my friend, glad you have made it part of your day as we approach February, Black History Month. Going to have a lineup of various folks from around the community who have a lot to say about the contributions of and the history of the black community in Tallahassee. Jim Bellamy among those guests, and we got a bunch of very, very able folks that I think you'll enjoy listening to as we have conversations about those topics. For today, we're focused on Hurricane Michael and its impact. And yes, it's ongoing. In fact, I had the opportunity earlier this week to drive west through the Mariana, Blountstown area. I made the comment when we were driving that everything looks like it's just sort of frozen. It's like somebody hit the pause button. Yeah, there's more blue tarp going on over there than you could possibly imagine. And then those homes and businesses are just abandoned. There's no point in trying to recover because there's little resource, time, energy, focus, whatever it would take to try to get back to where they were. So all those people have just packed up what they had left, personal belongings and such, and moved on. They've left. Left not just their homes. They've left the region. They've moved north or south, east or west, but they're gone. And the reports are now that you've got people coming into the region from other parts of the world and buying up property on the cheap, which likely will change the character of the region sizably, or it potentially could change how that particular part of Florida is best understood and recognized. It's a highly agrarian. I mean, it's rural. These are farming communities. We're going to talk with Kay Dennis about it at length. You know, she's the person who is the city, I guess the economic development manager for the city of Mariana. Now she's published this new book, and it is entitled Surviving Hurricane Michael, A Community Story of Devastation, Survival, and Hope During Recovery. Kay Keel Dennis. And I've been reading through the book. I have a copy now, what, about 2-3 weeks since it came out, and I've been having to put it down. I mean, I read through sections, and the stories are so heart-wrenching. I just set it aside and try to wrap my head around what I've just read and things that people had to endure and then again are still enduring. So with this book having been published, we thought it'd be great to have her come back and retell a little bit of that process, how she went about getting the book together, and you know, all the related tasks involved with getting us this chronicle, this story of. And it's well organized, because basically what you're doing is you're reading her diary, in effect. And she's got lots of accompanying photos that help you visualize exactly what we're talking about. The stories of the people who were heroic in their efforts to try to bring some relief, some aid and comfort during those early days, and have continued. You know, the nature of things like this is that, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind. We've moved on. Not that we haven't had other crises to have to consider, but when you're looking at something of this magnitude that is this pervasive, our friend Nancy Dignon said, if you imagine a hurricane of this size, you really have to think of it as a tornado that was, you know, 5 to 10 miles in width. But in any case, that's our story today. And to help us in that, I've also decided to bring back to you this conversation I had with Alex Workman and his wife, this project, Never Forgotten Coast. And as we present you with his findings, you're going to learn that there's a lot of good at hand, especially in places like, you know, Mexico Beach and Panama City and all of those places where the hurricane first made landfall. And there's great signs of recovery there, especially economically. And I think the point of that whole project is to say, hey, the lights are on. We are in business. And, you know, make your way over to the Bay County area and the Gulf and have some lunch, go out on a boat, go fishing, spend some money, and that will help the local economy. Is for its history, at least on that part of the region, has relied on tourism. And so we all need to be good tourists, and there are plenty of ways that you can get involved too, of course, in recovery efforts, and we'll talk about that in detail with Kay Dennis. Here are a couple of announcements for you. Let's see here. Today, until 1 o'clock today, from 9 to 1, you've got this hazardous waste opportunity for proper disposal. Residents can show our county some love by disposing of old paint, chemicals, cleaners, and other household hazardous waste items. And this is going on over there on Blairstone and Miccosukee at the Public Works operation. You drive by and you can get rid of your nail polish, you know, and I've got a lot of that laying around that I don't use anymore. Cleaners and, you know, motor oil, stuff like that, batteries, or electronics. I mean, how many cell phones are you going to, you know, keep in your desk drawer until you realize, you know, I'm never going to use that thing again? You've moved on. So it's a great way to dispose of that properly with our good friends at Leon County Hazardous Waste Management over there, Blairstone and Miccosukee, all right? Goes on until 1 o'clock, so you better get moving. With the beginning of the new year upon us, also news from the county, it seemed no better time than now to update our community with the exciting things that are happening. Leon County Parks and Recreation, they have a whole list of projects that have recently been completed or are in progress, with the anticipation of those projects being completed within the next 12 to 18 months. And so we have things like a new community park that opened down there at the corner of Orange Avenue and Meridian back in, September of last year. That's good. Leon County now has its first dog on Leon County's opened its first dog on November 1, located, I think that means dog park. Somebody just didn't type this correctly. Anyway, so that we'll say there's a dog park that opened November 1st, Leon County. So happy for your dog there. Second, the opening of the county's second dog park at Lee Voss Park on Old Bainbridge Road is scheduled for next month, February. So, yes, dog parks are a thing now in Tallahassee, Leon County. Wonderful. Full reconstruction of the basketball courts at Daniel Chairs Park. That got completed in December. That's nice. There's now an upgrade of all the boat landings around the area with kiosks. So, see, you know, this is your hard-earned county tax dollars being spent wisely. Folks, that's what I have for you at the moment. I've got Alex Workman sitting here. He'll be with you in this next few minutes. And I've failed to mention that I've got Ryan Fitzgerald, Seller's Tile, back in the business spotlight with me. So we'll step aside here for just a moment and talk to Ryan Fitzgerald about all the good things going on over there at Seller's Tile in our business spotlight. You stay with me.
People trust Sellers for better tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Sellers Flooring Advisor Ryan Fitzgerald.
We understand most people don't come in with great knowledge of what they're looking for or what they need. So at Sellers, what we try to do is use our expertise to guide you through the process.
Get Sellers working for you.
We make it easy, and we have the experts on staff to get you where you need to be, and we give you the options.
On Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive, call 656-8453. Online at SellersTile.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In 1965, Sellers was established in Albany, Georgia. Family-owned business that today is distributed remarkably with 6 locations in Georgia and Florida. Real success story. And we have our very own Sellers here in Tallahassee, there on Capitol Circle. Ryan Fitzgerald, you are a flooring advisor, if I'm not mistaken, and you are here to tell us about Sellers.
That works. Good morning, Brian.
Nice to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Talk a little bit about what you notice going on, let's say, with the kinds of products that are now available and maybe some of the trends in that. What are people buying?
Well, 2020 has started off with a bang. We're really strong. Business is great. It's a great time to remodel. It's a great time to build, and it's a great time to design.
Yeah.
Tile is still our forte. It's what we've always done. It's what we did first. But the industry has diversified so much. We, of course, offer carpet, other hard surfaces like vinyl plank, and we have our own marble shop where we do granite and marble countertop work.
Yeah. That's very cool, because that fabrication, you don't just decide you're going to do that. You got to have people who know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that division of our company, that's all they do all day long. That's their focus.
Yeah.
So they're very good at it, tried and tested. The public is keeping us busy right now. So we appreciate
it. That's a good story. And the fact of the matter is, we've seen this happening as I talk with business owners around the region. A lot of new business, a lot of construction going on, and as you point out, a lot of remodeling. When somebody is sitting here thinking about redoing the kitchen or the bathroom or whatever, where's a good place to start? Do they come in and see you first, or what would you recommend?
I would definitely recommend them coming and seeing us first, even when they're just in the idea stage, because that's where everything starts, with an idea.
No hard sell going on.
Never a hard sell.
Yeah.
Look, if you want something, there are plenty of places to go.
Where they'll beat you to death.
We hope to be the place where you'll end up.
Yeah.
But where do you start? Some people start with their countertop. That's the anchor. Anchor for a kitchen or a bathroom.
Right. Marble's still a very popular. Granite.
Marble and granite, they're timeless. They come from nature.
Yeah.
Until they're depleted, we'll have them.
So many beautiful examples of that, the product itself. But then you have those synthetics, right?
The quartz countertops.
Yeah.
Engineered stone is a great alternative. It has a lot of pluses in terms of ease of maintenance.
That's a good thing to know.
People like.
When it comes to coordination, right? So you talk about some of the design aspects, the questions that a person has. I walk in, I go, I don't know exactly what I'm looking for. But yeah, I want to start there with the counter. Kind of walk us through, what are the steps involved? And you have allied people, professional people you can get me in touch with, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When it comes to the counters, that's something that sellers would do in-house. But what we're interested in is your layout, how everything is going to work. We have a massive inventory of marble and granite about our Albany headquarters, where our marble shop is.
I see.
So we have the ability to kind of play with a lot of parts. We will end up with a lot of partial pieces from lots where we can kind of plug and play, make it more economical for you to do a job.
Hmm. That's
neat. You're using less material.
That's neat. Well, and if I don't have, I'm not working with a designer, is that recommended or what do you do?
We would hope that you would give us the opportunity on that first visit to kind of guide you through the process.
Okay.
And hopefully you find that our guidance is sufficient. Most of the time it is.
Oh, okay. So that will save me some money too. But if I really want to seek the direction of a designer, you can put me in touch?
Well, we can give you referrals to people who are outside of sellers. We have we have staff, we have at least one person on our staff who has a degree in interior design. So.
I see. So it's kind of, I can have it either way. When you think of how people's tastes have changed, now you've been in this business a while.
A while.
What is it that people are trending toward, do you think?
Tallahassee is an interesting place in that it's a capital city. Mm. It's a university town. You do have transplants here, but it is deeply steeped in the geography of where it's actually located. It's almost South Georgia. So some people are really tied to the country, the traditional.
Right.
Some people have a more modern take. Tallahassee's not reflective of the rest of Florida.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time, they say, what's everybody else doing? And I answer, something different.
Yeah.
Everyone is doing something different.
So there's room for that sort of individual expression, right?
Oh, there has to be. There has to be.
Okay.
It's what each individual person wants.
Right.
And our job is to help them find what they want.
Do you find it the case where somebody says, I really want it to do this, and it really is beyond the properties of that particular material, maybe flooring or countertop, and you might have to say, let's go this way, because if that's what you want to achieve, this material isn't the best choice? Is that how that works?
Oftentimes, the process will steer itself. Rarely are we unable to fulfill someone's vision.
Okay. But if I'm looking for flooring that just never scuffs, tile's a good bet, but if I don't want the hard, then what do I do?
Well, we have luxury vinyl tile and plank, which is your indestructible flooring. It looks like wood. It looks like tile. Extremely realistic, but waterproof.
It's going to last forever.
Virtually indestructible.
Yeah.
There's always someone or something out there that could do a number on it, but would be difficult.
Right. Yeah, I can hear the mom saying, you haven't seen my four-year-old
That's
yet.
That's correct.
Folks, this is what we love about sellers. They are so available and easy to talk to. Ryan Fitzgerald, who heads up the sales advice and curation over there, he really gets you plugged in, gets you started off on the right foot. Ryan, thanks for being with us today.
I appreciate it.
A pleasure. Ryan is the reason why we are so happy to be able to bring you Sellers Tile. You can find them online at sellerstile.com, located there in Tallahassee on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Folks, that's what I have for you at the moment. You stay with me. We've got more right after this.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, for all of us, there has been that sense of detachment, I think. We've all kind of looked from this side over here in the Tallahassee area, wondering what's going on, why is it that FEMA's money is being held up, and questions of that kind, and what has been the individual, personal impact. We've had a few folks on the show that have come to us with their own stories. And this morning we've got another. And that storyteller happens to be Alex Workman, our good friend, who with his company and the people that work with him have endeavored to bring us a little closer to the aftermath. Not only the initial outcomes, but then what's been going on since. So let's welcome Alex Workman this morning. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. I'm going to continue to read a little bit of this copy. Michael was the strongest hurricane to ever make landfall in the Florida Panhandle and was the third strongest storm in U.S. history. The storm had its most dramatic impact on the small coastal town of Mexico Beach in Bay County. The storm leveled everything in its path. True that. Then comes the work of husband and wife team Alex Workman and his wife, Chelsea, whose father was a business owner in Mexico Beach. So this is not just some journalistic project for you. This is very personal.
Yeah, my father-in-law is a charter captain. He runs boats out of the Mexico Beach Canal. And I just remember him texting us photos of that his friends were sending us of what was happening to their community
in real time.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy watching a restaurant that we were eating at a few days before getting blown away on a Nest Cam, and it just crazy stuff that you would think that, like, we were literally the weekend before playing on the beach with our kids,
and you sitting there trying to figure out, how is this happening? The surreal, we use the word too loosely, but sure. The idea that your brain is going, is this fact or fiction?
Yeah, Michael was such a unique storm because Sunday evening there was this, there might be a tropical storm in the Panhandle or in the Gulf. And then Monday, okay, it looks like it's forming. And then Wednesday at 1 o'clock, this storm came on the coast. So we're talking with a matter of a couple days. And my wife and I were actually out of town at the time. We were in Atlanta on that weekend, just visiting family, and we're like, "Oh no, we have to go home!"
Wow,
because we have to make sure our house is okay.
Yeah,
because we're talking 15, 20 miles to the east. Like, who knows what Tallahassee would look like right now? So
that is the one statement I think that a lot of our guests have reiterated. They have said, you realize how narrow that margin was.
And I grew up in South Florida, so hurricanes were like a fact of life.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember Hurricane Andrew hit when I was going into kindergarten. I actually missed my first week of elementary school because of Hurricane Andrew. But I just remember the craziness of even a Category 2 hurricane.
Wow.
So my wife and I came home. We actually boarded up the windows of our house, and we left because for us, we have two small children. Just the fact, like, it sounds really diva-ish now, but like, I don't want to deal with no power with two kids, right?
Well,
so we drove down to Gainesville. But I remember I was boarding up my house, and this lady walks by, walking her dog, And she said, "You must be a Boy Scout. Ha ha, be prepared." And kind of just laughed and walked away.
Yeah.
And I at least hope that Michael brought perspective to the people in our community of preparation.
You think about that in terms of what we're used to in this region and the idea that a hurricane could have this kind of impact. Well, we haven't seen that locally for some time, or perhaps ever. We didn't see swaths of forests wiped out and houses and businesses, buildings being leveled. Nothing of that kind.
You can actually see Michael's path from a satellite. Hmm. It's pretty interesting. And the reality is we're not very far away from where so many people lost everything. You had 19 feet of storm surge in some areas. Mm-hmm. That means like you had second story. You had waves going through the second story of people's homes.
Well, and speaking of images, I know that as a creative team, that's your focus right now. Sure. Tell us about the project that you've engaged.
Yeah, so we just had this idea that we needed to do something. I think oftentimes after disaster, people are asking these questions or saying, "Man, I wish someone would do something," or "I wish I could do something." And so we made the decision we need to do something. We didn't really know what that was at the time. We made some t-shirts and we thought we'd sell some shirts and figure out where that money needs to go. We didn't know at the time. We didn't really know what we were doing. I think so many great ideas don't ever come to fruition because we don't have step 3, 4, and 5, and that prevents us from taking step 1. Mm-hmm. And so we sought out to sell some shirts. We partnered with one of the greatest graphic designers in our city. His name's Jesse Taylor. He is incredibly talented, and he and I... he actually sent me a direct message on Instagram as I was driving to Atlanta after we checked our house and said, "Hey, man, I'd love to collaborate with you on something totally different in his mind." And I said, "Dude, call me right now. I have an idea." I was in this creative rut. I was trying to sketch out ideas for a shirt. And we ended up connecting over the weekend and having coffee that next Monday morning. Mm. So like less than a week after the storm, we had launched this project.
And are you wearing one of the shirts?
I am. Yeah. So this it's kind of become my uniform.
Since it's radio, I'll say this is the outline of the state of Florida, and then intertwined is this heart shape that happens to intersect right there at the Mexico City Beach area. Pretty clever and easy to comprehend, I would say. One glance and you get it.
Yeah, the idea, Jesse, when he had called it Forever Florida, and the idea being the heart kind of has this infinity look, and this idea that the community of Mexico Beach is resilient.
Yeah.
They're going to outlive Michael, and they're going to look very different. But it's amazing to see the resilience of people who literally lost everything.
So this campaign began with you capturing portraits and telling the stories of these refugee families, and that led to the creation of the Never Forgotten Coast campaign, right?
Yeah, so we started out just selling t-shirts, and we figured, like, we're going to give this money to someone. We weren't quite sure where that was going, because at the time, there really weren't any 501c3s operating in Mexico Beach.
Right.
And we ended up having an incredible lunch with the folks at the Mexico Beach Artificial Reef Association, and they changed their bylaws and mission to be able to support disaster relief. And so what we decided to do is I was doing some research and talking with some great friends, Gray Dodge, Aaron Gillespie. I know Aaron's been on your show before. And we were just talking about what a micro grant looks like. There was some neighborhoods in Houston after Harvey that would interject $1,000 to $2,000 to select businesses over in a small geographical area, and saw an exponential decrease in recovery time. And this idea came to me that the greatest way to see long-term recovery is economic recovery. If we can get people back to work, then we're not picking and choosing like who's a winner and loser within a community, but we're saying we're going to affect an entire region. So we can see people come back to
with
work.
With the micro grant idea, it sounds like that would be even more efficient because you can be targeted in how you want those dollars to be used at that moment, right?
Yeah, so the reality is the businesses could apply for these grants, and the only stipulations were they had to be in business before October 10th, 2018. They had to be within the city limits of Mexico Beach, and they had to make a commitment to do everything they could to open by the end of 2019.
Very cool.
And so from now we've given 35-ish grants away. we've been able to see a number of those businesses open back up, and we've been able to see people become employed again. And it's easy to think, man, $1,000 is not going to make or break somebody.
Sure.
But what that allows someone to do is for a restaurant that their building's under construction, it allows them to put a down payment on a trailer so they can operate in the parking lot. Or for a hotel who knows that it's going to be a 2-year rebuild, it allows them to already engage and put a deposit with an engineer or an architect while they're fighting with their insurance company.
Very cool.
So it allows these businesses to get a two to three month head start instead of waiting for that insurance money to come in. They're able to get the ball rolling. And so we've been able to see how a number of businesses in the community have been able to get up is much quicker than in other areas.
That's excellent. It's called Never Forgotten Coast Campaign. We've got one half of this husband and wife team with us here this morning, Alex Workman and his wife Chelsea. You stay with me. We've got more.
Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Alex Workman. Never Forgotten Coast Campaign. And which started out as, like you said, making some T-shirts, sure, maybe trying to do something to help. And the guy that you hooked up with is Jeremy Cowart?
Yeah, so Jeremy is an incredible photographer.
Drone pilot, right? Photographer.
Jonathan is a good friend of the drone pilot. Jeremy is
Jonathan is the drone pilot, okay.
Jeremy is an amazing photographer in Nashville. He's actually named by Huffington Post, Forbes, and Yahoo as the most influential photographer in America, or on the internet. And in 2016, I worked on a project that Jeremy had this crazy idea in after the Gatlinburg fires called Voices of Gatlinburg, where we took drone portraits of people laying on a white mattress where their bed used to be in their home that was destroyed by the Gatlinburg fires. And we ended up just randomly having this conversation of what if we did something like the Voices of Mexico Beach and take these stories. And Jeremy had this idea of like, hey, let's get a heart-shaped mattress. We were like, wow, how do we get a heart-shaped mattress? We did a couple of days of research and realized that'd be really, really, really expensive. But we wanted to use the heart design from the shirt to help kind of tie in to the heart of the community, something that was bright and red. And so we took all these drone portraits of business owners where their businesses really used to be in the midst of rubble, kind of offering perspective, because Mexico Beach is a town that tens of thousands of people visit every year, and those businesses are places that tens of thousands of people visit every year. So it gives perspective to those of, oh wow, that's the restaurant I used to go to, or that's the hotel I used to stay at, or that's the charter boat I used to go fishing on, and give people an idea of the magnitude of how it affects individual lives.
Based on tourism.
Yeah, that's about 95%, 97% of their economic dollars are from the tourism industry. Mm-hmm. And that's really the singular economy of the community. And when you have a community that gets devastated by a natural disaster that's so dependent on outside dollars and the perspectives that people have about not going to visit, It really takes a major toll on the city. So kind of out of the growth and development of this campaign, we really didn't know what we were doing. We really didn't know what we were getting into, but we've gotten to see how some photography and some designs have transformed a city. We have a mural of this like on the marina in Mexico Beach and down right down from the capital here in Tallahassee. And we've also launched a webpage called What's Open Mexico Beach, which allows people who might think about visiting being able to plan their day trips to go visit.
Okay, so if I'm getting this, your focus is to reconnect with us. To say, folks, businesses are open in Mexico Beach. Here's where you can go to have a great time. Come back, spend some money with us, spend a weekend with us. And you're doing that through all of these various mechanisms, most notably the photography, right? How do we go about seeing the photos?
Yeah, so anyone can go to neverforgottencoast.com and see a list of 18 stories of business owners. My wife, Chelsea, interviewed these business owners and kind of took their words and put it into narrative form.
Neat.
And she was kind of the real hero of all this project, just because lamenting over these stories over and over and over again. Jeremy is an incredible photographer and someone that I've looked up to for a long time, and he flew down from Nashville and took portraits of all of these business owners to accompany the stories. And our really good friend Jonathan Smith, he came down as well, and he is an incredible drone pilot. He's done like drone work for like ESPN and all sorts of incredible companies, but he came down and took these drone portraits to accompany those on the ground portraits as well. And so it was really cool to see a number of different creative sectors come together.
Yeah, yeah.
But then figuring out like, what do we do with all this money? And so kind of figuring out how the economic side can tie into the creative side. And we ended up launching this micro grant program and with some folks here. They have a company called Madison Street Strategies, and they're super, super great friends, but also
Aaron Gillespie and Gray Dodge.
Yes, they kind of gave some crazy ideas and wisdom on that. And it was, to our knowledge, the first micro grant program in the state of Florida to help recovery from a natural disaster.
And the grant funds are coming by way of
selling t-shirts.
Okay, so we've got to buy some t-shirts.
Sure.
We got to go to Mexico Beach and other places around the Bay County area, right?
Yep.
We can spread the word. We can be sure to share the link to this website, right?
That would be super helpful.
Okay.
I mean, the reality is we just want to help. In 2019, where the news cycle moves so fast, we really want this community to not.
Don't forget. Sure. And, oh, gee, it's called the Never Forgotten Coast.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, like, for us, like, I'm that annoying guy who calls the radio show hosts and the magazine publishers and the newspaper editors and say, hey, do you have a slot? Fit us in. Who do you want to talk to? Let's connect. And we've been able to see some incredible stuff. On the six-month anniversary of Michael, we gave out lapel pins to every member of the House and the Senate and the cabinet, and they wore that. And the next week, is when they passed an aid package on the state level.
Sure,
and so it's been really cool to see how different economic sectors who really don't play together, whether it be like creative individuals or economic development individuals or local electeds and state electeds, come together to see something incredible.
There are really two stories here, at least two stories. There is your personal involvement. Maybe that's the first. And by the way, how's your father-in-law doing? Is he back in business? I mean, where is he now?
He is back in business. He had an incredible red snapper season.
Okay.
Business itself was actually down. I think a lot of people just don't, they feel like it's a bother to go to Mexico Beach. We've had a lot of people say, oh, I didn't want to go and
get in the way.
And so he would get a lot of calls, hey, are you free tomorrow? And he'd already booked up. But he also said he had the best fishing season that he's ever had. I mean, there's days he was texting us pictures where he came back in with the like 21, 22 pound red snapper. And I think there's a day he had like 30 something mahi. I mean, it was like really good fishing. That's, which means I get to eat really well. He's an incredible chef.
That's story
as well.
One. Story two is your determination to try to bring us closer to that action through both these various means. And then that next story is we look at what you're doing, you and Chelsea and the rest of your team.
Sure.
And it occurs to me that this is inspiring.
Sure.
That when I sit back and go, well, I mean, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help. Well, I can help you.
Sure.
By buying a t-shirt.
You can.
Or buy 1,000 t-shirts and give them out as Christmas gifts.
You guys
whatever.
Hear that? Brian is buying 1,000 t-shirts.
And be sure to wear the t-shirt because that's always important. But then there's the business of maybe I could do something like what Alex and Chelsea have done.
That is our number one goal. I think Mexico Beach is going to recover. It's going to take time. But I'm one photographer. I'm one filmmaker. I'm one storyteller. There's just within the community of Tallahassee, there's amazing copywriters and
video
folks and photographers and PR people and social media managers and helping shift perspective in a way to say, when something happens, my reaction is not to say, man, I wish someone could do something. It should be, what am I going to do to use the gifts and talents that I've been given to help champion people who were affected by disaster.
Absolutely right. It's called Never Forgotten Coast Campaign, and the website is neverforgottencoast.com. Simple enough. You can go in, find out more, look at those photos, buy 1,000 t-shirts, and make sure that you tell Alex you heard it on Tallahassee Talks. Alex Workman, our guest this morning, along with his devoted wife and business partner, Chelsea. How's your child? Everybody's happy?
Yeah, everyone's great. We have almost 4-year-old and one that's just over one. And
that's hard to
believe. Youngest is starting to walk. And
see, I remember when the 4-year-old was not four.
Right.
He was like arms kind of thing. So time flies, my friend.
Yeah, he's definitely a three-nager. and so he starts preschool next week. And
so good to have you with us.
Thank you.
And blessings to you and your family. Say hi to Chelsea for us.
I sure will.
Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to this second hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your favorite radio show, with or without me. Because, you know, the real star of the show is that person sitting across from me. And we are blessed in this community, if I may say so, to have had such great opportunity over this now 8 years. We're in our 9th season. Identity is a big part of us being willing to go on, right? Producing and caring and building and listening and reorganizing, whatever we're doing to put out there for one another, whatever it is we have to offer, we kind of have to have built in a clearer perspective of who you really are. You know, we're still reeling from the death of Kobe Bryant, and you know, no question about the fact that you never heard of this guy and you know, not a basketball fan, and you start to look into this event, this story, this man and his family and his career. I mean, it doesn't take you long to realize this guy was special. Now, probably the most moving video that I've come across, and you probably have come across several, he's looking straight into the camera, and he says, "Hey, I'm sorry I can't be there with you." This was pre-recorded, obviously, then some time ago for some other event, but it seemed rather haunting that he's making reference to the fact that he's not here, and probably because he was speaking to a crowd of people who were gathered for some, you know, conference or whatever. But he goes on to say, "Though I'm not with you, I want you to consider a couple of ideas." And he goes about making reference to how critical it is that we know better who we really are. And he says of himself, I'm a guy who was born with a lot of talent, but I always worked as though I had no talent. It's remarkable. How many times do you see in business, in athletics, sports, education, in politics, somebody who is just very gifted, very strong, talented, but they haven't paid their dues. They haven't worked hard to perfect what talents they have, though gifted they may be. To know that it takes more than just being gifted. It takes a willingness to endure, to continue to remember who you really are. Because when those failures come, and they will, they must, you're going to be confronted with the truth. What is the truth? Who are you really? Why are you doing this? Those are the kinds of questions that you and I ask of ourselves. Why am I bothering to pursue this? You know, this humble little radio show of mine is, I have no idea how much impact it has made or will make. But can I tell you this? I don't really care. I don't care. Because I'm not looking at the scoreboard. I just don't. I look more so. And the only time I get asked about that is if somebody wants to spend money with me advertising on the show because they want to know how many people they're going to reach. I get it. That's fine. That's the way it's done. Good question. But for me, it's about knowing who I am and that you're sitting there listening to me and to our guests, and we're having a conversation that I hope and believe will be informative, instructive, encouraging, maybe motivating, maybe correct an idea that you have carried around with you for a long time, maybe challenge you to say, who am I? What's my part? How am I contributing to the people in my life? Right? Well, you got plenty of great examples of that around you in this community as we prepare for Black History Month here in February. I mean, here's the county event, Leon County and the Village Square. And they have this thing coming up February 13th at the Moon. Created equal, 60th anniversary of Tallahassee lunch counter sit-ins. As part of the Club of Honest Citizens series, the county and Village Square will host this 5th annual Created Equal, the 60th anniversary of Tallahassee Lunch Counter Sit-Ins, on Thursday, February 16th, 6 p.m. at the Moon, East Lafayette Street. You have to RSVP, want to let them know that you're going to attend. You can do that by going to leoncountyfl.gov/Created Equal. Dinner and refreshments will be provided. This event commemorates the Tallahassee-Leon County lunch counter sit-ins that were held back in 1960. And as part of honoring the past and looking to the future, the event highlights local civil rights history, the actions of the late Patricia Stevens Dew, a FAMU student leader who spearheaded the 1960 protests through the local chapter of the Congress on Racial Equality, known as CORE. The event seeks to answer the question, are we sitting together now? Attendees will have the opportunity to participate in an evening of stories and lived experiences told by members of our own community. And those include Priscilla Stevens Cruz, who is sister of Patricia Stevens Dew, the Reverend Henry Marion Steele, who at the age of 16 was jailed for his involvement in the 1960 lunch counter sit-ins, John Dew, an attorney and husband of Patricia Stevens Dew, and he lives in Quincy, he's a graduate of FAMU, Florida A&M University College of Law. Then there's Dan Harmeling, an active participant in civil rights. Looks like this is Tananarive Dew, born in Tallahassee, is the oldest of three daughters of John and Patricia Stevens Dew, author of Freedom in the Family. So you've got this great lineup of guests who can bring to you in real terms and in real time what events transpired 60 years ago to help set in motion a movement toward freedom and acceptance, mutual acceptance, liberty, and help to weigh against the tide of segregation and discrimination. And that has carried forward not only into the question of racial discrimination, but discrimination against religious groups, right? Or even those who are organized around a certain political cause. In our time, we are finding ourselves faced with the question, what do I really believe about people, about myself? Am I defined solely by those things that I align with, right? Whether they're religious, political, ethnic, economic, you know, am I one of the people who just, I mean, I hang with my crowd up here in this neighborhood and, you know, they're like me, so that's where I'm going to stay. Or are we going to cross over? Are we going to stand among all of those people who in many respects are just like me? Maybe they don't look like me, and maybe they don't live in my neighborhood. But together we find ourselves better answering the question, who am I?
Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins, coffee cakes, bread and pastries, and my personal favorite, fresh-made bagels and Lucky Goat coffee. Yeah, it helps get me out in the morning. And they deliver to the many restaurants, clubs, and coffee shops that serve their bread, muffins, and quiche. Never stuffy, never stale, just Tasty Pastry Good. It's the perfect blend of world-class talent, pure, simple ingredients, and down-home Tallahassee family tradition. Maybe they should call it Tasty Tally Bakery, but then why mess with something that's been working for 55 years? You know, you want something fresh and fantastic? There's a Tasty Pastry just waiting for you in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You want to know more? They're online at tastypastrybakery.com or call them at 893-3752.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
There's a new book in town written by Kay Dennis. You've heard me refer to Kay on several occasions. And she's been on the show before. She's with us again this morning talking about this book entitled Surviving Hurricane Michael. The subtitle, A Community Story of Devastation, Survival, and Hope During Recovery. Our guest this morning, Kay Keel Dennis. How are you, Kay?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Welcome to Tallahassee, all the way from the
Marietta,
sprawling metropolis of where you serve. For those of you who have not yet gotten to know this marvelous young lady, she serves as the Municipal Development Director. That's a mouthful. Municipal Development Director for the City of Marietta. So that means that her job got really, really interesting following the morning of October 10th, 2018. Sorry, I'm going 100 years in backwards here. 1919? No. We're talking only a year and 3 months ago when Hurricane Michael made landfall. What makes it even more heartbreaking, we're talking about a region of agriculture, agrarian economy. We're talking about people who for generations have farmed, farmers and growers that are not among the upper echelon of income. These are low-income, working poor families who in many cases were doing their very best just to kind of hang on.
That's true. Yeah. It's a very rural area, and now we have less trees. We were surrounded by trees. Our trees are height impaired at this point.
Yeah.
But there was a lot. There's also a lot of agriculture in our area, and peanuts and different row crops.
Yeah.
And our agriculture community has been affected in a big way.
In a big way, and in a way that is going to hang on, is going to continue to haunt us, I think, for the next several decades. And you had told me this has now become the blue tarp capital of the world.
Yes.
I mean, and it is everywhere. And seeing those houses, buildings that are just vacant, they're abandoned. Yeah. Yeah. The family's not having the resources to be able to recover, packed up, moved away.
Many packed up and moved away. One man that I spoke to a couple of weeks ago was living in one room of his house with, he did have a toilet, but no shower facilities, no electricity, no heating. And he's waiting on UMCOR, which is the United Methodist Organization, to take his house down. And it's not that they're bad or anything. There's just so many. And they're moving as fast as they can. Yeah. And so even over a year out, he's living in these conditions, and he's not alone.
And the outcome there is simply the house needs to be leveled. It cannot be repaired.
It can't be repaired. There were two or three trees that went through the house. But in the meanwhile, he has nowhere to go. Our housing stock is non-existent. We're going to have to rebuild housing, and everybody who works for government in Marion and Jackson County, and probably a lot of people in the state, are trying to help with that situation, but it takes a little time.
And, well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, the FEMA dollars have come through, and there probably will be some more. You've got private groups and churches that have contributed. You've got local organizations that are, you know, we have in the first hour of the show today, Alex Workman talking about he and his wife put together this project, right? The Never Forgotten Coast, right? And so their message is, hey, it's coming back, but we need all of you to look in our direction. So come on over and, you know, if you can't help us fix a fence, buy something. Put money into the local economy.
Help us rebuild.
Sure.
And being 70 miles inland, no one really thinks that we had it that bad, but Marianna was hit hard.
That is remarkable, and that was what I did notice, being in that we weren't down there on the coast.
Right.
You folks took a, and you can see even the evidence of the fact that that you guys were, I guess, on the west side of the hurricane as it came up. The fact that the trees are all bent in a certain direction, actually pointing westward as we were driving. So Annette made the comment. She said, notice all these trees are pointing this way, but the hurricane was coming up from the south. I said, yeah, you got to remember the direction of the winds at that time that it hit.
Yes, it's interesting about the trees. In some areas, they are pointing west, and some areas another direction. I know the eye went right over us, and we walked out in the middle of the eye, and a lot of people thought that was the end, it's over.
No,
it started back up.
And then the winds go the other direction once you're on the...
That's right.
The southern side of it.
Yeah. And if you were on the edge of the eye wall, you never had a break.
No.
Yeah.
No. You know, the book that you've authored here now in release, Surviving Hurricane Michael, I want to get into talking about this. Was this immediate in your mind? Did you, like within that first week or so, decide, I'm going to have to put this in print?
I was actually contacted by the chief of police, who asked me to put together what sounded like a newspaper booklet insert. And we were so busy at work. We had a 500% increase in permits and, you know, just trying to keep up with that and make sure no one's taking advantage of with their permitting. I didn't really get around to it until July. I do interviews with the businesses in town to promote the businesses. And so I had already heard some stories, and I began the book, and I was thinking, this is not my story. This is our town story. It's our community story, our county story. And so I began interviewing people from all over the community and just all aspects of life. I tried to get a good variety so that it would, you know, that it was representative of our community. And by, this was the hardest thing, like around September, I had to stop interviewing people. And there's so many more, you know.
Wow.
That was probably the toughest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal was to publish by the anniversary, but I didn't publish until December 2nd. Mm.
You were close. It's called Surviving Hurricane Michael. The author, Kay Dennis, our guest this morning. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with Kay Dennis. She is the municipal, what is your proper title? Yes, Municipal Development Director of and for the City of Marianna. And I wanted to bring to our listeners' attention this one passage. And this happens to be the personal story from the good Reverend from St. James AME Church, Reverend Miser. Says he'd gone back to the bank for cash that morning, which turned out to be a good idea because following the hurricane's destruction of everything in its path, there was no internet. So that meant that all of the banking facilities couldn't offer any help. So everybody's accounts were frozen. So this reads, without power, this is Kay writing to us, keeping food cool was a challenge. And then he says, after the first day and a half without electricity, I noticed people walking around in a daze. And he continues, he says, we were without electricity for 9 days with no generator. And then a member of the church where he pastors there at St. James, whose father had a generator, brought it to the house. It goes on. The weekend of November 10th, Reverend Miser traveled to Orlando for a meeting. And while away, he learned that mold and mildew had been discovered in his church and in the parsonage where he and his wife live. They came in with hazmat suits and said we had to leave. When we returned home, we had no place to stay. So a local hotel put them up, $89 a night for a few days. And then they had to drive another 50 miles away until they could find lodging at a local Motel 6. Notice that, 50 miles away. Yeah, because everybody else had already taken every other room.
Right. All the contractors coming in, different people coming in to help with recovery had taken all the rooms. Mm.
I noticed too, he says, in December, we moved in with our daughter who lived across the street. And we hired a public adjuster and an attorney for the church and the parsonage. Then in August of just this last year, August, so it's a year in you know, just short of a year's time, August of 2019, Miser's insurance and denomination had provided enough money for the parsonage, and the couple was hoping to be back in by September. However, at the beginning of November, he and his wife were still unable to move home.
They're still not in their home. The basement of the church is, you know, they can occupy that for meetings. They're not having church services in their church because the remainder of the church is unavailable for use because it's still under repair.
Yeah, and the black mold was a big threat. Well, when you were trying to gather all of this, and you said that it sort of came upon you, right, in recognizing that, man, this is not my story. This is Marianna's story. This is the story of Jackson County and other counties.
Right.
Did you come to a point where you said, I can't do this anymore? Was there that sort of, or how did you process, I guess, all of the emotion that you had to be feeling as you're gathering these stories?
I can still hear the stories when you read them. I can still hear the stories in my mind when you read them, as if the people were telling them to me today. It's just incredible. But I never felt like I couldn't process anymore. I just wanted to find a way to help these people, because it's such a wonderful community. And, you know, it's really sad. He's not in his church yet, the historical St. Luke's in Marianna. It still has a temporary roof and a good deal of damage, and they don't even know when that will be reopened. And there's a Bible from the Civil War that was rescued by a Union soldier that's in that church. And it's really a landmark. So that church is uninhabitable. And there's still, it's just sad, all the stories you hear.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I felt like, wow, we went through this together, but everybody had a different story. All these different things were going on, and who knew? And my hope is to help the community.
And in helping the community, I know part of that is the proceeds from the sale of this book being donated, correct?
Yes, all the sales, anything that comes from the sales is going to the City of Marianna for recovery.
And then those monies will be used as needed, or how will that be distributed? I mean, people apply for funding, or has the city already kind of come up with a list of must-dos and priority projects? Or
the city's constantly working on the recovery, but the city commission will vote on how to use the money.
I got you. So there is process there.
Right.
Is it appropriate to say, if we want to contribute monetarily, we can do that, right? The Red Cross, of course, is available as a depot for us to make contribution. But are there local organizations that could receive a donation and be able to get that money into the right hands?
Yes, the City of Marianna, of course, would accept donations. And we have the Northwest Florida Recovery Group that helps also Calhoun County. And so it's Calhoun and Jackson County.
Okay.
And that would be a good group to donate to.
Okay. What has been the reaction to the book thus far in keeping that awareness?
Well, I've noticed people around the country are buying the book. For locals, it's kind of difficult. Some of them don't want to relive it. It's too fresh.
Right.
Others have bought it thinking that they know me, and they've bought it. And they're like, it's Casebook, we'll buy it. And then they come back to me and say, well, I couldn't put it down. Mm-hmm. One lady said, I couldn't go to bed till I finished it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there a way in which I can go and volunteer with any standing groups? Or if I contact your office, can you put me in touch with such
Absolutely.
Groups?
You can contact my office. The phone number is 850-482-2786.
2786. Kay Dennis talking about this remarkable book that chronicles firsthand the experiences of hundreds of people, entitled Surviving Hurricane Michael, A Community Story of Devastation, Survival, and Hope During Recovery. I know you've got a couple of book signings up ahead. What's that schedule look like?
Okay. Well, I filmed for Two Egg TV.
Oh, neat.
Have you heard of that?
I have.
They're on YouTube channel.
Right.
And I'll be on there in the middle of February. I'm going to have a book signing at Chipola College on Monday, March 9th. I'll have a book signing at the Jackson County Library on Tuesday, March 24th, and I'll be at the Apalachicola Arsenal Museum on April 23rd.
Very cool. And I'm curious as to how the City of Marianna has perhaps redefined what disaster really means.
I think we have, and we want to be prepared if it happens again. One of the things that hurt our community so bad was the number of trees. Because we had trees everywhere. It was so beautiful. But it also saved our community. And now they're...
How so?
If we hadn't had any trees, we probably would have just been wiped out, like Homestead was with Hurricane Andrew.
I see.
But
so the trees took the hit.
Right.
Yeah.
So now some people want to replant. Others are thinking about palm trees.
Okay.
But, I mean, they're reluctant to replant because they don't want any more trees on their house.
Yeah. Well, and in that respect, too, with thinking about palm trees, I wonder how much the outcome will result in the change of the character of this community. And maybe that's the direct indication. You know, we've gone from being a town of oak trees and sweet gum to palm trees.
That's possible. And that's kind of sad because we had the beautiful magnolias and dogwoods and big oak trees that were draped over the roads. They're just beautiful. But it's just one aspect of our community. And I don't want to give away the ending, but there's so much more that we learned from the storm.
So when we come back from this break, I want to talk further about what the city is doing to help to restore economically. Folks, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks. I've got Kay Dennis here talking about this book, Surviving Hurricane Michael. Stay with me.
People trust Sellers for better tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Sellers Flooring Advisor Ryan Fitzgerald.
We understand most people don't come in with great knowledge of what they're looking for or what they need. So at Sellers, what we try to do is use our expertise to guide you through the process.
Get Sellers working for you.
We make it easy, and we have the experts on staff to get you where you need to be, and we give you the options.
On Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive, call 656-8453. Online at SellersTile.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Kay Dennis. And I'm thinking of this one person. I believe her last name was Livergood. Yeah, Paula Livergood. It says, reading from the book, after the storm, Paula's front door was completely blocked by a fallen magnolia tree. She says, we couldn't even go out. Not even 3 inches. And all they could do was open the door, but there was the tree. So they were able to go out they were trying to go out the side door about 3 or 4 feet, but then they found that they were blocked on all sides by the trees. We've talked about trees. The day after the hurricane, I sat on my front porch trying to not let the kids see me upset and crying because I just didn't know what was going to happen. And then it goes on. She didn't know the status of her job or how long it would be before she got paid. She said, I talked to their dad and he offered to send some money to help tie us over. And then he started talking about them going out to Arkansas to live until school was back in session. And she said, not really crazy about that idea because she said, it scared the devil out of me because I thought, what if they like it better there and don't want to come back? Okay, so I'm thinking about a hurricane and it's all about the physical impact. This is talking about the social, the psychological, the emotional, the relational impact as an outcome related to this devastation. Now, that has lifelong implications. Stop and think about that. Those kids end up going to Arkansas, and they say, Mom, we're just going to stay here. We've not only torn up her house with this storm, we've torn her family apart.
It was very tough for her to do that interview, and she was reluctant to say those things because she wants to have a good relationship with her ex-husband and have a good, you know, because that's her children's father. And she came back to me a couple of times to make sure I got it just right because it's so important. But on the other hand, she was devastated. Here she is, a single mom, nowhere to go. Her car was destroyed. Her supervisor picked her up every day and took her to work, and she didn't have any way of getting another car. And like Paula, there were other people who didn't know when or if they would get to go back to work. Mm-hmm. They didn't know when or if they would have any money. And FEMA helps a lot, and there are other organizations that help a lot, but it takes time. And, you know, mm-hmm. when you have to go stay in a hotel or anywhere else, you got to have some money, like you were talking about with mm-hmm. Reverend Miser. It's not going to be mm-mm. cash on hand if you don't have the internet. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't have a lot of extra cash to begin with, you're in big trouble.
Which is characteristic, I would say, of the region. Again, we're not talking about people who are known for having big bankrolls.
That's right.
We're talking about the working poor.
That's right.
In our community or among those who specialize in such topics, it's referred to as ALICE. These are asset limited income constrained employed. So the working poor, they have a living, they have a way of life that in this case is generations old, and in many cases it's the only thing they have, and it's the only thing they know how to do, and we just took it away from them.
Yeah, they're trying the best they can. Mm-hmm. And even some people who maybe they had a little bit of money,
right.
They lost everything, and mm-hmm. it takes time to rebuild, and it's a lot of money to front.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't have a year's worth of savings in case their job goes away.
Oh, let's talk about most communities, even in middle-income families, working paycheck to paycheck.
That's right.
That is more common than anybody really realizes. Tell me about Jones Shire.
Jones Shire is a retired lady in our community. She lives by herself, and she has a very nice home, but it was on top of the hill. She didn't have many trees, but her neighbors did, and they all went through her house while she was in there, and her house just collapsed around her, and then...
All the trees went through her house.
Yes.
Golly.
And then she tells it... she just couldn't believe the water coming in. And the way she tells it's kind of funny. But at the end of her story for that day, she just collapses and goes to sleep until she can figure out something for the next day.
Wow.
Right. But the good news is, one of the good things that came out of it, it was the people helping each other mm-hmm. and the churches helping the people. And that's mm-hmm. what happened first before anybody else was there to help.
She says, my neighbors and I could see up the hill within the city limits a bobcat and someone with a gas saw. Is she talking about an animal?
No.
Okay. No. Okay.
Some equipment.
Okay. Thank you. You know, this is the South and we have bobcat. So the bobcat and someone with a gas saw working their way down the hill on Friday after the storm. Our driveways are probably 100 feet apart, and Dr. Cook's son had taken his chainsaw and gotten down as far as he could, which included my next-door neighbor's driveway. So there was a lot of this camaraderie going on,
right,
neighbor to neighbor. And, of course, there was a rush of people from various communities. I know a lot of people from Tallahassee on a bead. They were heading to the area. Service professionals.
We're so thankful.
Yeah.
Very thankful.
Electricians and firefighters and carpenters and all that sort of thing.
Linemen.
Those are the hometown heroes we celebrate around here.
That's right.
And they're continuing that fight. As you've helped us realize, folks, this is not over. It won't be over for a long time.
Right.
Do you think that there's a sense of, I don't know, revitalized hope? Is this part of the untold good news ending in the book, because I don't want to give away anything, but
you have to read the book.
I got to read the book, right? But I mean, isn't that in your observation that people are sort of taking a breath and going, okay, we've gotten this far, now chapter two, we got to keep moving forward. And in that, does it occur to you that people have sort of lost interest in the recovery from outside?
There's less interest from outside, and there needs to be more. As far as the locals, I think some of them are worn down, and uh-huh. they took a little break. Like, we've been cleaning fences and trees forever. We just got to have a break. But it looks a lot better. It looks a lot better. But we need more hope from the outside. We need more help. The city or the county is managing the Endeavor property, which used to be a former reform school property. And so they're looking at doing some kind of development there, but that's going to take a long time. It's not going to happen quickly.
Okay. Give us that phone number again.
850-482-2786.
And that'll put us in touch with your office.
Yes.
And we can begin making further inquiries as to our involvement.
Yes, call me. I'll be glad to help.
Okay, Dennis, our friend and the author of Surviving Hurricane Michael, a community story of devastation, survival, and hope during recovery. It's available on Amazon.
It is.
Book sales going well?
Yes. Started out being a bestseller, and then I heard from a neighboring business that it was on Yahoo Business News. As Wonderful. A bestseller.
Wonderful.
Yes.
This is good news for all of us, and great that you've been able to bring us an update on all that's going on. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I always enjoy coming here.
A pleasure. Folks, that's what I have for you this week. It's what we do here, telling you the stories of great people doing great things all around us all the time. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.